Thank you, my brother, for the reading of the scripture. And we are so glad that from time to time, chapters like these come in the Bible. And it's a challenge for the pastor to preach. But when you preach in an expository way, you have to preach whatever comes in that chapter. Before the preaching, I want to report to you that I've been in touch with Henry Jun and Tayan, who are in the state of Washington. Henry's mother have a surgery, very delicate surgery, and has been successful. And the cancer has been located, and is not spread and removed. And so she's on recovery well. So we thank God and thank for Henry, he was concerned, and for Tayan. And so we welcome Iran also from Korea. Talk to your husband and how wonderful it is to have you back in the United States. Now, please, will you turn your Bible to the third chapter of the book of Nehemiah. Now, just to get you into the background of the scripture, the book of Nehemiah depicts the way of recovery from breakdown and reveals how you can come to a condition of peace, security, and restore order in your life and usefulness after a catastrophe. In this particular scenario, the catastrophe is the nation of Israel who disobeyed God, just like America today. And the nation of Israel had disobeyed God in one thing, had disobeyed God and not performing the Passover feast, which is equivalent to the Lord's Supper today, which is a revealing of the salvation comes from God through the shedding of blood. And Israel took for granted that privilege. And every year they should celebrate it, they didn't. And so God punished them with 70 years of captivity. Now, God promised that if God's people repent, he will rebuild them. And so the 70 years come to an end. God revealed this to Daniel. And at the coming of the end, then God moves two people to do the work. He doesn't need an army or a millionaire or a billionaire to rebuild the city. He needs two people who are willing to believe in God. One was Esther. One was Ezra, and the other was Nehemiah. And so we are in the studies of Nehemiah, and I observe in my studies that there are very specific steps that Nehemiah took, which taken in order, they will lead you and me to a full recovery and to be used of God again and again. But you have to respect them. Remember the first step was in chapter 1. And the first step is focus in God. You need to start with God. He pray in chapter 1. Maybe you are not a Christian and you don't know how to pray. And your first step is to find God and to find peace with God. But the first step always is God. You need to focus in God and find him, and then you can pray. That's important. The second step that Nehemiah did, I call investigation. He investigated what was the problem. How serious is the problem? Remember? And he waited for God to help him. And he waited 4 months, remember, before he did anything. He investigated. He researched. He looked in every place. He was real, you know. And so he put things together, and he knew what he stood up. He knew what was ahead for him. He was not afraid of, but he wanted to know how serious it was, and it was very serious. Now we come to the third step. And I entitled this chapter, Get Organized. There are some of you who are very organized and some of you who are sloppy. Some of my neighbors said to me, now that Raquel is away, I said, I'd like to see your house. Please come. I said, my closet is all by color code, shirts, suits, pants, everything is put so I know exactly, I look the day and exactly how I'm going to dress. All right? If it's a cloudy day, I look this, I look the other, that's me. My shoes are all color code, type of shoes for morning, evening, everything perfect. The floor is all mapped in place, and I love that. I learned from child. That was my job with my grandmother. My brother learned to cook. Now, I don't cook, so I do very practical things. I bought 4 steaks. I put them in the barbecue, and I have it done. Every day, I warm up one, and I eat it. That's all. I am not in a big hurry. I got tomatoes from some people in McDonald's. I cut those fresh tomatoes, and I eat it well, a big sandwich. That's it. That's what I need. But the house is impeccable. My neighbors said, I can't believe it. So they came to see it. And I passed the test. I'm organized. But some of you are not organized. That's the nature with you. Now, this chapter is too long for me to read all the details one by one and follow them. But I want to show you some important principles about organization. What do you do if you want to get organized? What do you do if you plan your day, you plan your life? Living without planning is wasting your time. You need to get absolutely organized. That's what the CEO of a company does, no? He sits down, he sees what he wants to build or whatever he wants to do, and he gets his staff, his chief of staff, and he gets them all organized so that we know what to do in a given place. We did this in radio communication. We want to broadcast in a state that never had broadcast the gospel. And so some of the people went as spies and find out what the people are listening, what they are doing, what the government was, who we can talk. And then when we went into the business, we knew exactly what to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, done and accomplished. All right. So we're going to get organized today. Organize your life before God. There are 4 principles. I shared them with you. I have an outline for you. And it's very simple. We follow here in the scripture. And if you follow these, you get your life together. It hurts me when I see young people wasting their life with so much potential in America. So much you can do. I don't mean you all have to be medical doctors or you all have to be engineers, but you can do a successful life if you organize your life properly before God. And I challenge you to do that. Here we are. Principle number 1. They were all involved in the project. Do you know this when we try to establish a project for our church in the new property that we have, that we put notes and papers together so that we all get involved in the project? It's not that just we are kind and we want your opinion. It is God's way. Look, we're all involved in the project. Look at in chapter 3, verse 1. And by all means, all kinds of people. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then Eliashib, the high priest. I mean, the very high priest, the Pope of Israel, he was involved in the project. The Bible said, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. The high priest, the super honored chief of staff of the entire religion system of the Sanhedrin, he sit down and he with his hammer, he built the gate. The high priest. Now, verse 2 tells me that next to him built the men of Jericho. Just the common men, the regular men. They were all involved. Look at in verse 12. And next to him, Shalom, the son of Haloesh, the ruler of Jerusalem, he and his daughters, his whole family, his daughters, not only the high priest, not only the men, but here is this man who has a family, and the entire family, the children, everybody, his daughters, were involved in the ministry. Verse 17, look with you. He said, after him repaired the Levites. You remember when the Levites were established? They were established for only one thing, to do a service in the chapel of the Lord in the tabernacle. And now they are working with their hands, building this wall of Jerusalem, the Levites. And you look with me in verse 32, and the Bible said, and between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate, repair the goldsmith and the merchants, the businessmen that were involved. The businessmen also, they moved their sleeve up, and they really were. Now, never you find perfection. Always there is a nasty person who don't want to work. Look in verse 5. Look in verse 5. And next to him, unto them, the Tekoites repair, but their nobles, the rich people, put not their necks to the work for the Lord, of their Lord. Always they have some rascals, you know. You know that. In any company, in any business, always you have some people who really are slow down to understand what they need to do. Even in the Bible, it shows you that there is no perfection in this matter of growing up together. But the principle is here, and so many people, only one kind of people do not work. That is no bad. So in calling upon the people of Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and their gates, we learn from this chapter that all the people were involved in the project. All the people. This is no Pastor Lutero's church. This is no Pastor Tomlinson church. This is your church. And we are all involved in the project of spreading the gospel around the world. The whole city gave itself over for a period of 52 days to building the walls and the gates. Look with me in chapter 6, Nehemiah, in verse 15. Chapter 6 and verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day, the month Elul, in 52 days. In 52 days. I say in my previous sermon, 54, and I miss it, it's 52 days. In 52 days, they build the walls and the gates all complete because the 99% of the people were together. Now you understand why we brought the project of the church to you. We brought the project of the building. We consult with the other. We consult with the group of the ladies. We consult. We do all kinds of consultation. The committee consult with many contractors. We need to have the cooperation of everybody. That's the first step into getting organized when you deal with a lot of people. That portrays for us a very important principle of the New Testament, that the ministry of the church in the world today belongs to everyone in the congregation. It is not just the pastor who need to evangelize. Actually, I need to feed you with the Word of God. I need to make you strong in the Word of God so that you can evangelize the world. And you do that, and you will see it in a minute. The Bible tell us how you do that, where you do that, when you do that. It's just marvelous. So people think that only the pastor and the higher staff were to do the work of evangelizing, teaching, counseling, healing the hurts of others, and serving the needed. That people are so used to. There are churches today with 4,000 or 5,000 people who they have a paid staff of maybe 200 people who do the work, and people come to church, they sit down, they look on it, and they leave and forget about the Lord until next Sunday. And that's not so with the work of God. We need to get involved. Because we have followed that practice far too long in having staff pay, the church is in trouble all over the world. But the ministry belongs to the congregation, not to the staff of the church. That is why this church do not have a staff. Actually, has a staff. All of you are the staff of the church. All of you work in the ministry. We have a giant team of secretaries here in the church, and volunteers and gifted people who do all kinds of work. In cooperation, so that you can have your church bulletin, your outlines, your inserts. You can have, we have presentation. We have all kinds of people doing that and so on. All of them, by the way, are volunteers in our church. Nobody was conscripted to do this, and no one is paid for the work of the ministry here on the what I call my staff. They're all volunteers. They're all, this is your church, and this is a ministry that you want to grow. We are all engaged in the ministry. I do not know any truth more important for the accomplishment of God's word than that. We are all engaged. We are not, this is not a corporation where we have a staff producing some business so that the church grows. This is the church of the living God. We are sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with people. Yesterday, we have about 50 people here. Most of them, I would say, 99 were unbelievers. They belonged to Roman Catholicism. They had no idea what the Bible said. And I have a wedding to perform. Alex and Linda, who found in the Bible God. And I lift up my Bible in the wedding and show them what God said about marriage. Tricia's in here. Devin played the piano here. And I was just thrilled standing here having a team. The team was three people, Devin, Tricia, and me. And we were only doing one thing. I was doing the performance of a judge and establishing a marriage legally. But more than that, I was sharing with them what God said about marriage. And it was so fantastic. And then they invited me to their party. And then I went, like a little lamb in the middle of the whole thing. And I sit down with the brother Reyes and Heather there in their table. I don't know where to sit. The mariachis were playing. I want to dance and all this. It was really wonderful. And I sit down there. I see what happened. And very soon, questions and questions and questions. I had to leave and sit down on the table. People are telling me, we are wrong. We're divorced. We have to remarry ourselves. Amazing. I said, Lord, I can't believe it. It was just a tiny little teaching. You know, the Word of God creates faith, don't we? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. But the work was the ministry. And then after they leave, Pastor Tomlinson, Candace, and myself cleaning and preparing the church for you this morning so that everything was set up. And I told the couple, I will not charge you anything, neither the church charge you anything for using the church. This is a church. This is a ministry. We don't make money by renting the building or paying the pastor for a performance. No. That's not biblical. And they were all shocked. So a church charge us $400. No, we don't charge anybody anything. Now, when you become a member, we pray for you. When you become a member, we pray for you. But right now, you're free. And not a good deal. See, we lost that flavor. This is your ministry. We become a staff. A lot of people are calling me, pastors are calling me, do you need a pastor in your church? Oh, yeah, we need. He said, well, how much the church pay? Nothing. He said, oh, nothing. How do you live? Well, I don't know how you live, but you said you need a pastor. You just come in and work. He said, how I live? Well, I work in my own profession to live here when I began, and you can do that. He said, no. He said, what is your benefit? Oh, well, you are sharing the word of God. That's your benefit. And see, this is not a business. This is a church. The church of the living God. So, people of God, you have gift. All of you have a gift. All of you have a gift. Just pick up the phone and call somebody, encourage them to come to church. That's a gift. All right? So, the first thing, we all are involved. The first principle of getting organized, we all are involved in the project. Like if you have a lot of children, it's very easy. I asked Danny, how you're doing when he got married, had one child, second child, third child. So are you going to stop? Miriam said, no, said, Miriam want 10, but I don't want more, he said. And one time I went over there, and I enjoy it. I thought I was going to do this and the other. One girl did this, the other girl do the other girl do the other. So here in the church, we're all in home, we're all organized. I do this. Everybody knows their job. And I assume Joby do the same thing with their children and so on. Everybody's organized so they will be good, successful. We are all involved in the project. This is not Pastor Otero's church. This is my church. That's the way you should say. All right? Second thing, the most difficult. The second thing is more difficult than the first one. It is they work together. Look at chapter 3, verse 13. They work together. The valley gate repair Hanun and the inhabitants of Zanoah. They build it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bar thereof, and 1,000 cubic on the wall unto the dung gate. They work together. They knew what they had to do. Although, all through this account, you'll find the phrase, next to him worked so-and-so. Next to them worked the other person. They work together. And I want to show you so that you can see it. In other words, nobody stepped in somebody else's territory. They did their job. Let me show you in detail. I have the time to do it. They work in a marvelous way. In verse 1, the Bible said that the brethren and the priests, they work together. And in verse 2, say, next unto him. Not on the top of the other, not disturbing the other. Nobody wanted to do somebody else's job. Everybody did their own job. You see that? That's very difficult sometimes in the church. Some people want to do somebody else's job. No, you have to do next to him, said the scripture here. Verse 4, and next unto them. Verse 5, and next unto them. Verse 7, and next unto them. Verse 8, and unto him, next unto him. In other words, verse 9, next unto him. In other words, there was a perfectly ordered manner in which things were done. They were all working together, but no one on the top of the other. And no one wanted to do somebody else's job. My grandma taught us. These, we don't have the fancy things the Americans have. As I grow older, I said, I don't need it. We don't have dishwashers, hot water, and things like that. So it was a big can, the grandmother heat for washing. I wash my brother dry, and my mother put things away. That was the typical thing after dinner. Doesn't matter if you finish dinner at 11:30 in the night or you finish lunch at 2 o'clock. One might wash here, the other dry, the other put away. Nobody stepped in each other's territory. And works. And that's what they do. Next to them, that sentence, next to them means when he finished, the others start and do the job. Everybody have an assignment. This is what I call working together. Very difficult in a church. Everybody wants to do somebody. Imagine that I say, I want to play the piano. Imagine all people running out fast when I play. Imagine that. You need to know what your gift is and use it for the Lord from point A to point B perfectly. See? And use it for the Lord. See? They help one another. Nehemiah has so marvelously organized these that catch one had is that each one had a section of the wall or gate assigned. In other words, he assigned the job perfectly. Each family had their own land. I don't know how they knew the plot that belonged to their grandparents, but everybody knew where their plot was, and they worked each one in their property. Everybody assigned to their property perfectly. Nehemiah was a genius. He was not a college degree. He had common sense. Common sense. And he was educated by listening to King Artaxerxes making decisions. Remember, he was the FBI with a cup. He listened, everything was on. And he was not stupid, he learned. So lesson number 2, they work together. Lesson number 3, they work near their home. Look with me, verse 10. And next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Jerumath, even over against his house, in front of his house. Over against his house is in front of his house. Look with me in verse 23. After him repaired Benjamin and Hashub over against their house. That means in front of their house. Look at in verse 30. After him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hananu, the sixth son of Salaf, another piece. After him repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. And so the third principle of cooperation is this. They work near their home. Look in verse 10, as I said, Jediah made repairs opposite to his own house. In verse 23 and verse 30, over and over again. In other words, the last man in verse 30 has just one studio. The word is chamber. There was just a one-room house and a studio, all right? Even him was able to work in front of his house. And what is then the principle that is taught here, near where they are? Well, God has placed us all strategically where he wants us to be. You live in the place you live because God wants you to live there. You know that? Your neighborhood, your office or home is where your ministry should be. That is why God put you there. In Ephesians 3:1, Paul said these words, that God had appointed him to the Gentiles. He had put him in the place where God wanted him to be. Paul wanted to go to the Jewish people. He went to the synagogues and they beat him to death. He went to the Gentiles and they welcomed him. Amazing. Amazing. Each one of us has a special gift with a special people. God has given you a gift to deal with a special people and a special persons. I talk to the Spanish and I'm really, I think I'm too serious for the Spanish. They don't listen too much to me. But when I talk to the Americans, because I know that their mind is gold, that's their God, they listen. See, how do you think I can get along to start a conversation with a doctor? I will say, you know, the newspaper will say that when you die, where the money will go? Yeah, where my money go? I remember Dr. McCormick and I, after surgery, doing this with the other doctor. And one time we paste Ecclesiastes 1 in a newspaper. So look at what the papers say here. And the doctor read it. That's going to happen to me. And we laugh so hard. See, everybody has a gift. And you have an assignment where you are. Don't look for any place else. Where you are, with your neighbors. One of my neighbors lost her husband. He's 80. He was 80. She's 78. So I knocked the door and I said, you know, from now on Thursday night, I come in and pick up the garbage. And we live in a hill. So the garbage down and the truck comes on the top. Say, I come here. After I bring my garbage up, I bring yours. Whatever, how many cans you have, don't worry. They have wheels. So, you know, and I move in the morning. So thank you so much, she said. You know? And you know, you never know. You never know. You never know what God is going to do. You never know. The other night was late. I forgot. So I knocked their door. And I said, I'm sorry. Susan, I said, I forgot, but I'm here. He said, I knew you will come. So you're a good man. I said, no, you know, only one is good. Jesus, God. Oh, don't talk to me about him. It's all right. You look like a Jew to me. No, I'm not a Jew. And start a conversation. Why a person will raise the garbage can from downhill, uphill to a 78 years old lady? The lady was 25, 26, makes sense, but 78 years old doesn't make sense. You know what? The love of God. The love of God. You show people the love of God. You know, in America, everybody do something for something. They want to get something from you. But God don't want to get something from you. He wants to save you. And he give you a son. So here is the place. Wherever you are, you have a ministry wherever you are. Maybe your husband is the ministry. Maybe your wife is the ministry. Being patient and kind and gentle and in spite of anything. Maybe your children are the ministry. Maybe the school that your children go to are the ministry. You never, look, you got a place where you can build those walls over there. Don't give up, all right? So they work near their home. This is brought out beautifully here as we watch these people laboring in one neighborhood and in the other neighborhood. They neighbor by neighborhood, you see them working, not interrupting. Imagine all of us witnessing in our own place where we live. This church will be tripled in a year. It was just witness. Witness. And witness was your life. One more principle. They completed their assigned task. It's very important, young people. That's one of the problems with the young people today. They start something, they never finish. That's when my father put his finger between my eyes and said, whatever you start, you finish. You go to a school, you start, and you finish. If the school is 6 years, you do it in four. Don't be a dummy. I did it with Jacqueline. I said, you start in Boston University, it's 4 years, you do it in three. She called me. Okay. Said, I did it this year. I graduated 3 years only. All right. Grandpa is going to pay some of the bill. All right. You know, it can be done. Can be done. Look at in chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. But the Dan gave repair Malachiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Bethel, Hazarim. He built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. He completed. He built the wall, he built the door, he built the knobs, he put the lock, put the bars, done. Completed. So you need to finish the work assigned. I keep telling people, they ask me why an educated person will love Jesus. And I use this. I say, you know why? He finished his work. Really? Well, look with me. In John Gospel, in chapter 19 of John Gospel, in verse 30 of John Gospel, he finished what he started doing. In John Gospel, chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And bowed his head and gave up the host. He came to die for his people. And he died on Calvary cross. He said, my work is done. Sin is paid off. And now Satan has no more control. Except you have to believe it. He finished his work. And the fourth principle is, wherever you start, you finish. So when I start teaching you a book of the Bible, I go through the book of the Bible. You have to finish. It is important. And each one completed in Nehemiah the assigned task. They kept on until they had finished the work. Some had more to do than others, but no one failed. Except, you know, those people in verse 5. They don't want to get their hands dirty. I have learned through the years that responsibility is always a mark of a spiritual maturity. Responsibility. See, the most mature members in the congregation are those who stay with the work that has been assigned to them until it's done. And I am proud to say to you that in this church, we have few men who are marvelous. And when they are not finishing, I call them. they are wonderful. And they're all volunteers. And they're all responding in a marvelous and wonderful way. The Lord Jesus Christ, he finished his work. He not just came, I will learn in Sunday school today, and he taught and did miracles. He just accomplished. He came to die at the cross of Calvary. So the sin can be paid off. And you don't have to go through a ceremonial law in order to be justified before God. You go through believing in the work of Christ that he paid for you. The penalty of your sin is done on the cross of Calvary. And he finished. So what did we learn today from this very hard chapter? Well, do you want to rebuild your life? Number one, find God. Chapter one, find God and pray. Do your homework. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. You are an apostle. You want to make some decisions and you don't know what to do. You wait upon the Lord. Number three, get organized. Put the facts actions and people together, put everything together and go. And that's why some people ask me, even pastors in this town ask me, Pastor Otero, when the building is going to be finished, the new building. I said, well, when the Lord wants to, we will finish in just in a spot like that. The Lord brings $2-3 million here. We pay our debts of $400,000, and then we make the rest, make the building. So when that happened, don't ask me. Now you have to ask God. See? And they think I'm just too simple. And even the architect called me and said, can you get a loan? Oh, yeah, I can get a loan in my own name only. Say, will you, the church, get a loan? No, sir, I don't pay interest to the unbelievers. Can you imagine paying interest to an unbeliever, making rich the devil? No. Me, Christian, hard work. Your offering is a hard work money. Imagine the pastor have no consciousness to use your hard money that you put in the offering to pay interest to a rich bank. Come on. Can we wait a little? Can we wait a little? We are okay here. We will be much better in the new building. But our organization said the facts together is, one fact is, I cannot use your money to pay a bank interest, period. And number two fact is, I will make the building cash together. I have a nice contractor visiting with me. I showed him the drawings. We went to the city hall. We went to the land. He said, I built your church for $160 square foot. Now, last price was $250. Now it's $160. So that makes the building $1,600,000. That makes the building $1 million less than it was before. And I smile. I said, I'm waiting. I said, when the building can be built for $800,000? He looked at me. It's impossible. Well, nothing is impossible with God. I said, and I smile and make them nervous and make them uneasy. You know, this crazy pastor. People come here to buy. I had 2 days a car staying in the area and with the machine. And I went to the car and I said, lady, before I call the police, you are recording with the recording camera all the moves in this church. You can be somebody to steal something from us. I said, what are you doing? And she said, no, I'm a realtor. And she said, and I want to sell this property. Oh, that's good, that's good. I said, well, come, give you a cup of coffee. I said, how many millions do you people plan to pay us? Is it millions? Yeah, if we are asking 10, how many people will offer? He said, oh, no, he said, 10 million, we'd like to buy the whole thing. Oh, no, it's 10 million me, 10 million the other guy, 10 million the other. And she left this quarter. The next day she come in with another fellow. And she said, are you serious for 10 million? Oh, maybe more today. So they leave thinking they am not. But you know something? I'm not in a hurry. I'm in a hurry to pay the debts of the church. Yes, I'm in a hurry for that. I want to pay those who kindly, members of this church, have lent $400,000 to. I want to pay them back so they can use their money. But the rest, I wait. And the Lord is going to do like Gideon. He's going to give us a blossom. Maybe I'll not be here. I'll be dead. And Pastor Thompson will enjoy that. But one thing I want to tell you, be wise. Be wise. It is not the building. It is not the majestic glasses. It is the Word. It is the Word. And it's people being saved one after the other that makes the difference. So get organized, said here. And now work together. Work in your area. Get involved in the project. And the project of this church at this moment is be a witness for the Lord. You don't have to get any tool. You don't have to get anything. Be a witness for the Lord. Be a witness for the Lord. Invite people. Yourself. Be on the service of the church. Don't let the service go down in the attendance because in the night or on Wednesday night. Be here. Get involved in the church. Please get involved in the church. And the people will know how great is our God. Thank you, Father, for this great truth. We pray that the Spirit of grace will make this teaching real to us. Point out those areas that need to be worked on in our lives that we may enter into the full security and safety that you have for us. We pray that you will use us completely in this ministry. In Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? We thank the Lord for the blessedness of sharing the word. And there are more chapters hard like this in other parts of the Bible, but always they have a message. Thank you, Father, for the song that opened the doors for us, the invitation to go with him. Thank you for the teaching that our life needs to be organized. We need to give an example to the community in which we live, that we are a community ourselves who work together, who love each other, who do the work of God voluntarily, and who do the work of God with joy and in the proper manner. Lord, use your people at Bethel, that may shine and complete the work for which you have sent us. There are many things that can be done and many things that need to be done here in our church. And so, Father, I pray that this exhortation of your word will challenge our life to volunteer in many areas that we can cooperate. And, Father, also I pray for the families, that they will teach their children to organize themselves as a unit and work with each other. so that life together becomes more simple and most effective. Thank you, Father, that Nehemiah, I start with you. The first thing Nehemiah did, he prayed to God. And so, Father, if someone is here and want to rebuild their life, they need to come to you. And they need to find where God is, believe in him, and then wait upon God for his direction and whatever matter costs in their life. Lord, thank you. At the beginning, when I read the chapter, I thought, what am I going to say? But you enlighten me and give me insight. It was very hard. But you are a mighty God that through the Spirit speak to us. Thank you for the simplicity in which you taught me. And now, Father, bless us as we go home. Some of the people will not return. And so I pray that this week will be very fruitful, very effective, very organized week in their life. Above all, a week in which the testimony of Jesus will shine in their life. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus, our precious Savior, amen.